This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. Hope you're having a good day. Talking today with Randolph Monroe Regional School Superintendent Kelton Davis. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing?
Like I always say, I can't complain. It doesn't do any good, so.
Yeah, but. I understand. You know, I think we're all kind of feeling in that position right now where, you know, school has certainly obviously started back up, but there seems to be so many other life issues going on right now and political issues, and it's just an interesting time. I'll put it that way.
Definitely. That's a good way to put it. Definitely a good way to put it. So the school year underway, sure that with everything that's going on, and your office is pretty busy here.
We have been. We've done something a little bit, I know is unique in this state. With the governor's last executive order and affirmations by the Department of Public Health and the Illinois State Board of Education, we are following under the mandate to have all staff vaccinated or to test weekly to receive affirmation of negative unless they are vaccinated. So that has meant putting together a lot of, it's caused mass chaos. I don't know how else to say it, Jeff.
Right.
Logistically, when we're talking about 1,100 staff and potentially, I don't have the exact figure, only, you know, say 70%. Vaccinated, that leads quite a few people to be testing on a regular basis. And what we found out is, you know, there's not a lot of testing locations available if we're talking about rapid tests or what the higher end test is called, a PCR. Getting access to those is difficult. As soon as we had an inclination, though, that this was going to be happening, we signed on as a regional office of education, as a region in the two counties, to do Shield Illinois PCR tests, which are actually saliva-based, not swabs. It's a spit test, a test that checks the spit for COVID. By our office doing this, each of our individual schools didn't have to sign up, train, et cetera. We did this in collaboration with them, with the local health departments, and we are now testing in our schools for staff, and in some schools, students, for COVID. And this qualifies and satisfies the requirement generated by the governor to weekly test those individuals who are not vaccinated.
Okay.
So that's what I've been doing nonstop the last 3 weeks, is getting that up and running. We were supported by our county boards to do this. We received from them a small amount of their COVID relief monies to help us get this rolling, and it's up and running. It is up and running.
Okay. Yeah. You said that's a saliva test, or?
It is. So University of Illinois started very quickly to create a new type of test. And it is a saliva-based test. It requires between 1 and 3 milliliters of saliva. So an individual that does test, they have a very small test tube and a little funnel, a little tiny funnel that fits on the top, and they simply will fill that with saliva it's not even in this little tiny test tube. It's not a lot, but it it can be challenging to fill for some people who, because you have to fast for 1 hour prior to testing.
Okay.
And so some people may be dry mouthed, et cetera. But so far we've had 100% ability of people to provide ample test samples. So what? Once those tests are done, we cap them, or the actual individual caps it, places it in our test tube rack, which is in a secure container, and we drive every day to the laboratory those test samples, and within about 6 hours, we have the test results.
Oh, wow.
So we're getting them back very quickly, same day or next morning, and we're notifying any positives directly as soon as we see those results, and able to move forward. I will tell you one caveat here is the laboratory.
Yeah.
The laboratory that we have to take these samples to. I'll give you three guesses, and it's not in either Randolph or Monroe County. where do you think those tests might be?
Either in Sangamon or Cook.
Well, yes, and you got it on the first one. The lab is in Springfield, which is another reason, and every day, we have a gentleman taking our samples up for us, and it's about between picking up the samples, I'm talking about 6 hour day, just of driving 5 to 6 hours, driving up to Springfield, delivering the samples, getting the supplies back, and coming back home. So this is something our schools would not have been able to do, even if they were doing testing on their own, would be getting those samples taken up to the lab. So we have tested, we've gone through about 300 samples so far, so that means we've run 300 tests. We hope to get to about 1,000 tests a week. And so far it has been well received. One of the biggest things for parents is it provides the option for what they call test to stay. So Jeff, let's assume, let's assume you and I are in studio together right now.
Okay.
I test positive for COVID. But we're also assuming we're in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I end up testing positive for COVID 2 days from now. The question is, were you a close contact? And the answer would be yes. Even if you were masked, if you were under 3 feet, you're considered a close contact. And if we were on a bus, it doesn't matter if you were masked or otherwise. There's just so many bizarre rules. You have to be excluded from school as a close contact, which means for the next 10 and potentially 14 days, you're at home. Well, we now have the ability to test students on their first day after being exposed, third day after being exposed, fifth day as a close contact, and seventh day as a close contact. And throughout that time, assuming that you stay asymptomatic, no symptoms, and no positive test results, you can stay in school the whole time.
Oh, wow, okay.
And for us, that is a game changer to keep the kids in school and not having to exclude them from school because of being a close contact.
Right, right. Yeah, I know
that's
huge,
because we're talking right now in some districts 40 kids excluded because they're a close contact
right
to a positive case.
Yeah, I know that was a big concern before, you know, I mean, because obviously, you know, the learning environment is much better when you when they're in school than when they're doing remote. Just the nature of it. I mean, I've taken online courses before, and it takes a lot of self-discipline to sit there and stare at a computer screen all day.
It does, and even a self-paced online course, and I've done those too. It takes, you know, it takes a lot of self-discipline, but these aren't even necessarily that. And so we found out, and we know, remote learning is far less than ideal. Far less than ideal. So avoiding it at all costs, because it's also disruptive for the parents and everybody else.
Right.
You know,
right.
If I've got a third grader, second grader, first grader, kindergarten, whatever, I've got to be home with them, which means I can't work. And if I've got multiple kids and one kid gets COVID, then the next kid gets COVID, then the next kid gets COVID, if I have three kids, I mean, you could be talking being out for out of work for 3 months.
Right.
I mean, for a month,
mm-hmm.
as the staggered COVID runs through your household. So, you know, in this case, we can catch a positive potentially early. There is an option, totally optional, by at the discretion of parents. Schools cannot unilaterally do this. It has to be with parent permission. But we have the ability to test a child, whether they're close contacts or not, every week. And the idea with that, and that was the origin of the test, was to prevent spread by catching it early.
Okay, right.
So should a parent choose in the district to implement, again, parent choice only, they can have their child tested every week for COVID with a spit test. No nasal swab scratching your brain, nothing, you know, invasive, mm-hmm. just saliva.
Okay. Yeah, that would be, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm sure you had to do the nasal test, and it's not a real comfortable thing.
No, and you know, unless my sinuses are acting up, I don't know that I want somebody poked up there. It gets you going a little bit. Bit of a tickle, and for the young kids, it's more traumatic than it actually is, but they don't respond very well. And if they're moving their head and the like, you know, it's just icky. So not that having kids spit in a test tube at a very young age is easy, by no stretch. It is certainly less traumatic than the nasal swab.
Right. All right, I'll tell you what, we're going to have the break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in here, and we will come back and talk some more with Kelton Davis, Regional Superintendent of Schools here in Randolph and Monroe Counties. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Talking with Regional School Superintendent Kelton Davis. About a little less than 3 minutes left in the program, and I believe you've got something else you've got to get taken care of as well. But just to kind of wrap things up, overall, how's the school year going, minus COVID?
You know, I think compared to last year, infinitely better. It's great to have kids involved and seeing them at school. I know they're excited. It has certainly improved the behavior of my children by them being regularly in school. Seeing the communities wrapping around events and sporting activities and the like. So it really is so much better. From a school standpoint, it has been equally, if not more, challenging than last year. From an administrator's standpoint, you know, people are very frustrated right now, understandably. you know, there, we have all been rule followers, and we've seen things on TV and media where people haven't followed the rules or the laws, and they get away with it. And people are just frustrated and fed up. But I will tell you that often we are seeing groups that are coming to fight the schools for policies that they have no authority over whatsoever. The schools are stuck. They are doing what they have to do. And the state board is penalizing schools and taking away their recognition, which removes competitive athletics and events from them. So, you know, while I know people are super frustrated, school boards are not the ones with the authority here. It is the governor's office. It is the legislators allowing the executive orders to continue and not addressing it statutorily. So I really want to help people to understand that your protests and things like that need to go and be directed where the source is, and the source is not our local school boards. Most likely our schools are, it personally feel exactly the same way, but we're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very frustrating for everybody. So chin up. We are doing everything we can. We want our local control back, but it is bigger than a school board. Now, I am putting as much information regarding all of that, the COVID testing, sign up, everything that you need. It's still work in progress on the FAQs, but if you go to our website at roe45.net, you'll see a banner at the top under My Ugly Mug, and you'll see a little banner that says COVID updates. If you click that, you can learn about everything we're talking about today, and I'll be adding information about how politics has taken over our schools. So I'll be working on that soon as well.
All right. Well, it's music's playing. We're out of time, but thanks for being with us today.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate the opportunity. You're wonderful to work with, and I want to thank everybody listening out there. If you have any questions, just give us a call or visit our site.
All right. We'll talk to you again next month.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day. Regional School Superintendent Kelton Davis here on The People Speak this morning.